This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Sergeant Good, what was your understanding on February 1st of 2022 regarding the Canton Police Department's role in this homicide investigation?
I believe at some point on the 29th, we recused ourselves and we weren't part of the investigation.
Oh, so you did know as of the day that John O'Keefe was found on Brian Albert's front lawn that the Canton Police had recused itself from the case, correct?
At some point, I was notified after I finished all my paperwork, yeah.
And what was your understanding of the recusal decision in terms of what Canton Police was either allowed to do or not?
Well, he had passed away, so now is no matter what, it's state police investigation. It's a homicide. We do not investigate homicides.
Well, you've been a Canton police officer for 18 years, correct?
Yes.
During those 18 years, do you know how many homicide investigations have occurred in Canton?
None.
None?
Homicides, no. That I was involved in, none.
That the department was involved in?
I can't think off the top of my head, no.
So in the 18 years, this is the first homicide that you've been in, your department's been involved in, to your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware that although the state police have primary jurisdiction, they work hand in hand with local departments, usually, unless there's a conflict of interest?
Yes.
So in this case, you learned that there was a conflict of interest. And my question to you is, what did that mean in terms of your potential involvement in the investigation once that conflict was determined?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
Were you the primary investigator for the Canton Police Department as of February 1st?
No.
Did you participate with the state police in any part of the reconstruction?
No.
Now, Sergeant Good, who is Brian Higgins?
He is a ATF agent that has a satellite office out of the Canton Police Department.
And when did you come to meet him?
I have no idea when he started. It's been years.
It's over a decade?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Between 5 and 10 years?
Sure.
And how often would you see him at the Canton Police Station?
I worked midnights, so during that time, but I mean, 3 times a week I would see him. I mean, we don't have the same work schedule. I don't know when he works. He doesn't know when I do.
Okay. And when you say you work midnight, that means you come in at midnight?
Yes.
At 8 a.m.?
Correct.
And he works in the same building as you in terms of the fact that he has an office there, correct?
Yes.
Are there any other ATF agents that have offices in the county?
There could be. They don't check in with us.
Do you know of any ATF agents that have offices at the Canton Police Department?
Not that I know of, no.
What about officers from other local departments, surrounding towns? Do they have any offices at the Canton Police Department?
No.
And you're not sure exactly how long he's had that office for, but it's been years?
Correct.
He has his own key card to enter the building?
Yes.
And you say you've seen him 2 or 3 times a week in the time that he's had an office there?
Sure.
You're aware that Brian Higgins is a close friend of the former Canton Police Chief, Kenneth Berkowitz?
Sure.
You know that Chief Berkowitz was the reason that he was allowed to maintain an office at the Canton Police Department?
I didn't know that.
Well, his close friend, Chief Berkowitz, was your boss on January 29th of 2022, correct?
His close friend?
Yeah. Brian Higgins' close friend, Chief Berkowitz, was your boss on January 29th of 2022.
Okay.
And does okay mean yes?
Yes.
And you worked the midnight shift that day as well?
No.
What was your shift?
I took it off.
Were you assigned to dispatch that day?
The night of the incident?
Yes.
No, I stayed inside. I was inside.
Inside where?
The dispatch. I handle all the calls, send the guys everywhere.
All right, that was my question. I'm sorry if I'm not being clear, but you were on duty, correct?
Yes.
What was your shift?
My shift was I stayed inside.
I'm sorry. What was the timing of your shift?
12 to 8.
Thank you. And when you say you stayed inside, that meant you were handling dispatch, correct?
Correct.
And when you're handling dispatch, you're not expected to leave the station and physically respond to calls that come in, correct?
It depends on the call. Anything within reason that a supervisor should go, I'm leaving the station.
Okay, but
normal car accidents, stuff like that, that patrol can handle, no.
Okay, so unless it's something unusual, you're going to stay at dispatch, correct?
Correct.
And just after 1:30 a.m., while you were working dispatch, that's when you saw Brian Higgins enter the Canton Police Station at 1:30 in the morning, correct?
Correct.
Did he come into the dispatch area?
I said that earlier. I don't remember him coming in, or just did I see him on the cameras walking down the hallway? We have I think we have 7 or 8 monitors in front of me that I'm able to watch people around our building.
So it could be that you just saw him on a screen, or it could be that he was in your room.
Correct.
But you don't remember which, correct?
Correct.
And before he showed up there at 1:30, you hadn't called him to ask him to come in, correct?
No.
You hadn't asked him for any help with any investigation at 1:30, correct?
No.
When you first saw him there at 1:30, did you have any idea why he was showing up?
No.
And when you first saw him, do you remember what entrance he used to come into the Canton Police Station?
I don't. It was from the back parking lot. I don't know if he was on the left back rear or right back rear.
And you would agree with me that 1:30 in the morning was hours before John O'Keefe was found unresponsive on Brian Albert's front lawn, correct?
Yes.
You had no information at 1:30 in the morning that John O'Keefe was out on Brian Albert's front lawn at that time, correct?
Correct.
And when Brian Higgins entered the department, that was the first time you had seen him on either the 28th or the 29th, correct?
Correct.
And this is, again, at 1:30 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Say yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. You didn't know where he was coming from?
No.
You didn't know what he had done that night?
Absolutely not.
You didn't know who he had been with that night?
No.
This was a Friday night into early Saturday morning with a major blizzard forecast?
Correct.
It already started snowing?
Yes.
It was supposed to get worse?
Yes.
Was it unusual to see Brian Higgins come into the station at 1:30 a.m. on a weekend?
No.
And you don't recall how close you got to him?
No.
Are you able to tell this jury anything about his demeanor?
No, he just walked in. It's not unusual. We wouldn't have made pleasantries or say hello to each other. It's not uncommon.
And you don't recall whether or not you got close enough to him to smell his breath or to smell what he smelled like, correct?
No.
At any point, did he tell you why he was there?
No.
How long did he remain at the station for?
No idea. I only saw him come in, never saw him leave or anything like that.
Did you ever see him do any paperwork at the station?
That night?
Yes.
No.
Did you ever see him do any administrative work at the station?
I can't leave the dispatch room. His office is out on the second floor.
All right. So let's skip ahead a few hours later. You're still working dispatch when a call came in that a man was found unresponsive on Brian Albert's front lawn, correct?
Yes.
It's just after 6 a.m.?
Yes.
You yourself took that call?
I did.
And with regard to who is responsible for entering the information that came in on a call to dispatch, who is that?
The person that's working the desk.
All right. So at 6 a.m., you were responsible for taking down the information and entering it into your system, correct?
It's being recorded through the 911 dispatch, correct? but I didn't enter it into our IMC program, which is our daily log.
Okay, who enters that into your daily log?
That'd be the person that's working the desk.
And you had previously testified that location is important, correct?
Correct.
You had discussed the fact that if a call comes in on a cell phone as opposed to a landline, you want to know where that cell phone is, correct?
Yes.
And you have ways of pinging the cell phone such that you can actually see the location on a map, correct?
Sure, yes.
And you would agree with me that ultimately when the location was entered into your system, the location was entered as 32 Fairview, correct?
No, it was 34. At least we put it out as 34.
34 was the actual address, but 32 is what made it into the police report, sir, did it not?
No, my police report says 34 Fairview.
Now, when that call came in after 6 a.m., you decided that you would personally go out, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I actually have the front page of your police report. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes. Show Ms. Tilali.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'd ask you to read that silently to yourself, take a good look at it, and look up at me when you're done. You've had enough time to review it?
Yes.
Getting back to the location, which you said was important, what is the location listed in your very police report?
On the face sheet, it says 32, but in my narrative is 34.
Okay. The face sheet is important, is it not?
Yes.
People see the face sheet before they get to the narrative, correct?
Sure.
Is accuracy important?
Yes.
And the very first thing that's entered with regard to the location is inaccurate, right?
Say it again.
The very first entry with regard to the location on your police report on the face sheet is inaccurate. Would you agree with that?
I guess so, yes.
And with regard to the name down the bottom of that report, I left the report in front of you so you could look at it again. Would you read that silently to yourself and look up at me?
Okay.
Does that refresh your memory as to what name is listed?
Yes.
What name is that?
John O'Keefe.
No. I can have that back for a minute. Okay. Now, you decided that you wanted to go to the call, or you decided it would be a good thing for you to go to the call personally, correct?
Yes.
So you called Officer Kelly Deaver into dispatch?
I did.
And you did that because you wanted her to cover the desk for you so that you could personally respond to the call, correct?
Correct.
Responding to the call wasn't your duty assignment, but you made it your duty assignment, correct?
Correct.
And if you were going to leave, somebody had to cover.
Correct.
After that, you personally called two of your other colleagues who were not on duty that night to respond with you to Brian Albert's house, correct?
Yes, I did.
And you previously testified, I believe, that Sergeant Michael Lank was one of those officers, and he arrived at 6:25 a.m., correct?
Correct.
And then Lieutenant Paul Gallagher was the other officer, and he arrived closer to 7 a.m., correct?
Yes.
When you responded to 34 Fairview on January 29th, did you know that residence?
Yes.
And what did you know that residence to be?
I knew that to be Brian Albert's house.
You and Sergeant Link had both been to that residence before, correct?
No.
Together?
Actually, we have. We were there for a police report years ago.
Oh. And so when you decided to respond to the scene on January 29th, that residence of 34 Fairview, you knew exactly where you were going?
Yes.
And when you got there, you knew you were outside the home of Boston Officer Brian Albert, correct?
Yes.
And this was a memorable event. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Before January 29th of 2022, you had never responded to a call where the body of one police officer was found on the front lawn of another police officer's house, correct?
Yes.
And at some point after you arrived, you saw both Sergeant Lank and Detective Gallagher arrive, correct?
Yes.
It was Sergeant Lank who first entered the home and made initial contact with Brian Albert and his family?
No, I was right next to him.
So is it your testimony that the first time the police went in the house, you were there with Sergeant Lank?
Yes.
All right. And when you went in, can I have Exhibit 8 on the screen, please? Okay. Terrific. You're able to see Exhibit 8?
Yes.
Is that a fair depiction of what the house looked like when you entered it?
Yes.
Did you see the front door?
Yes.
Is that the door that you entered?
Yes.
And you had testified that you looked around the immediate area where you were while Sergeant Lank was asking questions. You noticed that when you entered that front door, you come into a foyer area, and directly in front of you on the left, you can almost reach out and touch, there's a door that goes down to the cellar. Is there not?
I don't know. I don't remember a door there. I remember the stairs going up to the second floor.
I see. So you don't remember that as you step into the house, you can go down a cellar door right away?
Objection.
No, I don't know where his cellar is.
The objection sustained.
You don't know where the cellar is, and that's in part because you did not go down to the cellar, correct?
Correct.
You never examined it?
No.
You never saw what condition it was in?
No.
Saw whether there was any signs of struggle down there?
No.
You never saw if anything was tipped over?
No.
You never saw whether there was any blood or any other trace evidence down there?
Objection, Your Honor.
The objection sustained. You've made your point. Can we turn the lights back on, please? Do you need this, Ms. Giannetti?
I do not.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. Now, going back to when you first arrived, Sergeant, you were alone in your cruiser, correct?
Yes.
You weren't driving with a partner that morning?
No.
You were the second officer on scene?
No. Third.
Who got there before you did?
Officer Sarif and Officer Mullaney.
Okay, so Mullaney actually beat you there?
Yes.
But only within a matter of minutes, correct?
Sure.
You arrived in your marked cruiser, correct?
Yes.
You had your overhead emergency lights on, correct?
Correct.
You pulled up right in the front of the house, facing in the wrong direction in terms of the lane that you were in?
Correct.
You were parked on Fairview, adjacent to the Albert residence, and you were facing towards Cedar Crest, correct?
Correct.
When you parked, you left your motor running, correct?
Yes.
And when you got out of your cruiser, one prominent sound that you heard was Karen Reed screaming at the top of her lungs, correct?
Yes.
She appeared to be in distress.
Correct.
She appeared to be crying.
I did not see her crying.
She was hysterical.
Yes.
She was very loud.
Yes.
And you could hear her yelling throughout that morning, could you not?
Correct.
After you got there, other emergency vehicles showed up?
No.
Did you see any other cruisers show up?
If you want to call an unmarked detective pickup truck or cruiser, sure.
Okay, so there was one additional police vehicle that showed up?
Sergeant Lang arrived in that, and then Lieutenant Paul Gallagher arrived in his unmarked cruiser.
Okay, so two additional vehicles. Mm-hmm. And also Officer Seraph's vehicle was there?
And Mulaney's, correct.
And Mulaney's. So we're now up to four police vehicles on scene?
Yes.
They all have their lights on?
No. Detective Sergeant Langs does not have any lights in it, and neither did Paul Gallagher's lights were not activated, I believe.
I see. So you and Seraph and Mulaney had your lights on?
Correct.
And I actually miscounted that. It would be five police vehicles, correct?
Sure.
All right. Three with their lights on. What about ambulances?
There were two ambulances that showed up, one for the first transport of Officer O'Keefe and second for Miss Reed, but they were never there at the same time.
All right. When you first got there, was the first ambulance there?
It was.
And that ambulance also had its lights on?
Yes.
How many fire trucks were there when you were there?
Just one.
And that also had its lights on as well?
Correct.
And engine running?
Yes.
And everyone was essentially parked around and in front of 34 Fairview, correct?
Correct.
And all the while, the first responders are talking over the noise of the storm, correct?
Yes.
And they're also talking over the screaming by Karen Reed, correct?
Sure.
At one point, Kerry Roberts even yelled at Karen, and I apologize for the language, but she yelled at her to shut the fuck up, correct?
I have no idea. I don't recall that.
The scene was very chaotic. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right. Could I have Exhibit 16 on the screen, please? Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry. Okay. Now, this has previously been admitted as sort of a side-to-side comparison between your cruiser dash cam and Officer Saraf's dash cam.
Okay.
And they've been synchronized.
Okay.
If we could start at 9 minutes in, please.
So, Ms. Giannetti, this is not yet in evidence.
I had it as Exhibit 16. Am I
right.
Correct?
Right. So it's not in yet.
I see. With regard to your dash cam, sir, do you recognize the bottom video here as depicting your view as you were driving to the scene?
Sure.
And that appears to be a fair and accurate representation of what was shown to you on direct examination with regard to your dash cam?
Yes.
Continue. Would you agree with me, Sergeant Good, that you're arriving on scene at approximately 6:16 a.m. on January 29th?
Yes.
And I'd ask you to review and compare your dash cam video with the top dash cam video for the next 30 seconds or a minute, please. And I'll ask you some questions after that.
Sure.
Sergeant Good, does it appear as though the top dash cam shows the exact same thing as the bottom dash cam, just from a different vantage point.
Yes.
Can you play it for another 20, 30 seconds? Were you able to see when people are moving, or when somebody's moving in the top version, they're also moving in the bottom version, just, again, from different vantage points?
Yes.
So did these both appear to be fair and accurate representations of the dash cams that were going on at that time?
Yes.
I would offer that, Your Honor.
Okay. I'd like to see Counselor Zaba for just 1 second on this. So this will now become Exhibit 16. We had it as a placeholder from before. It was 379, and on Friday, we said that it would stay as 16, assuming it was put in evidence. That's what you have, Tori and Jim? Great.
Okay, we can take that off the screen. Thank you. Now, Sergeant Good, you've testified that you got there at about 6:16 a.m. and relying on Exhibit 16 that I placed before you, correct?
Okay, yes.
You stayed on scene for over an hour and 40 minutes. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You left maybe around 7:50 a.m. or so?
Correct.
And during the beginning part of the 1 hour and 40 minutes that you were on scene, with all the vehicles that we've just seen at around 6:16 a.m. and for the first 10, 15 minutes with all those lights flashing, you never saw Brian Albert come out of his house, correct?
Correct.
And did you see first responders working on John O'Keefe when you were there?
No.
He had already been loaded into the ambulance at that time?
Correct.
So you didn't see him actually being scooped up and put on a stretcher, correct?
I don't recall, no, Houston.
And with regard to the remainder of the time that you were on scene, up until all the way through, 7:50 in the morning, did you ever see Brian Albert come out of his home?
No.
Did you ever see anyone come out of the Albert residence?
Other than John McCabe and Matt McCabe, no.
Were you aware when you entered the Albert residence that morning that John O'Keefe was found on his front lawn wearing only one shoe, black in color?
I was not aware of him missing a shoe, no.
While you were there, you were listening to the questions that Sergeant Lank was asking Brian Albert?
Yes.
Did you ever hear Sergeant Lank ask Brian Albert that morning if he knew where the other shoe was that was black and color?
Objection.
Sustained.
While you were there, did you ever hear Sergeant Lank ask Brian Albert when he learned that John O'Keefe was lying on his front lawn?
Objection.
Sustained.
You knew that Brian Albert, as a Boston police officer, is a first responder, correct?
Yes.
All police officers are first responders, correct?
Yes.
You know from your training that all police officers have to receive CPR and other necessary training to be first responders, correct?
Yes.
At any point in time, did you ask Brian Albert why he didn't come out of his house?
No.
Did Sergeant Lank, in your presence, ask him why he didn't come out of his house?
Objection.
Sustained.
After clearing the scene at 7:50 in the morning, Did you go back to the station?
I did.
Do you know whether or not Kevin Albert was working that day?
I don't.
Did you see Kevin Albert that day?
I don't recall seeing him.
Did you speak with Kevin Albert that day?
No.
Now, since that day, it's been almost 2.5 years. You've continued working on the same police force as Kevin Albert, correct?
Yes.
At some point in time, you and Kevin Albert discussed the fact that you were one of the first responding officers to his brother's home for this tragic incident, correct?
Yes.
It's a very unique situation, correct?
Yes.
Many officers in the department were interested to know what you saw and heard that day, correct?
Sure.
At what point in time after January 29th did Kevin Albert broach the topic with you as to what had happened on January 29th?
Objection.
Can you answer that?
Sure. I don't recall ever immediately talking to Kevin Albert about the incident, no.
Right. Well, you had said that you don't recall talking to him that day, but certainly within a couple of weeks, the two of you caught up, correct?
I can't remember, no.
I'm sorry?
I can't recall that, no.
Within a couple of months, you talked about it?
Sure.
And when you say sure, sir, I take that as you're saying, well, if you really want to go there, I'll give you the sure answer. You have to answer yes or no.
Okay, yes.
So you answer yes or no if you can, and if you can't, you can't. So ask the question again or just move on, please.
Okay. Do you recall where you were when you and Kevin Albert discussed what had happened on January 29th?
No.
Do you recall who else was present?
No.
Do you recall whether it was in person or over the phone?
I don't recall, no.
You certainly told him what you observed and heard that day, correct?
Yes.
Now, when you arrived, you were on scene not only to assist with, first aid and secure the scene, but as a first responder, your job is to assess the situation and also make an initial determination about gathering evidence. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You'd be on the lookout for any physical evidence, correct?
Yes.
And you'd certainly be on high alert for any individual who made any statement about what may have occurred, correct?
Correct.
That's important not only for treatment purposes of somebody who apparently is hurt, but also for investigative purposes, correct?
Correct.
And again, you were the third officer on the scene by minutes in terms of the other two officers arriving before you, correct?
Yes.
And while you were on scene for over an hour and 40 minutes, and by the way, when I say on scene, it's clear to you that I'm asking you about 34 Fairview, correct?
Yes.
There was no scene at the Canton Police Department, correct?
No, I'm talking about 34 Fairview.
Of course. A scene is where something happened, correct?
Yes.
While you were on scene at 34 Fairview for an hour and 40 minutes, did you ever once hear Karen Reed say, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him"?
I did not.
And you wrote a report regarding this, correct?
I did.
You are trained over your 18 years that you include every important detail in that report, correct?
Correct.
Certainly a statement by Karen Reed screaming out, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him," would have been an important detail that you would have included in your report, correct?
Yes.
You do not intentionally omit any important details from your report, correct?
Correct.
Did not include that language, "I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him," in your report, correct?
Correct.
And the reason you didn't include it is that you never heard those words come out of Karen Reed's mouth, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now getting back to, potential physical evidence, if you're at a potential crime scene, you want to find what you can, correct?
Correct.
You want to properly secure any physical evidence, right?
Correct.
In order to assist the investigation, you're prepared to conduct a thorough search for evidence that may shed light on what had happened, correct?
Correct.
And you did participate in a thorough search in this case, did you not?
The best we could in the elements that we had, we were dealing with, yes.
You know, you had previously, and I'm sorry, if, I don't mean to cut you off.
Nope.
If I did. You had previously testified, and I think I'm quoting you, the leaf blower worked great, correct?
Yes.
You would agree with me that with that leaf blower, your department was able to actually get down to the bare ground, correct?
Yes.
And you were directed to the precise area where John O'Keefe had been laying, correct?
Yes.
And so you knew the area that needed to be searched, correct?
Yes.
You certainly want to properly search around that area, correct?
Correct.
And after John O'Keefe was in the ambulance and then transported to the hospital, that was the very area that you were eyeballing, correct?
Yes.
And you visually searched that area as best you could in the conditions, correct?
Yes.
And you tried to be as careful as you could be?
Yes.
You did not want to miss anything?
Correct.
You took the job very seriously?
Yes.
In addition to scouring the area with your eyes, did you use your hands to search in the snow?
I don't remember doing that. I was recording it.
I'm sorry?
I don't remember it led that way. I was recording the scene.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did you see other officers using their hands to search the scene?
I don't recall it that.
Do you recall officers using their feet to clear some areas?
Yes.
And you were the one that actually got your leaf blower, correct?
I did.
First time you ever used that in an investigation, fair to say?
Yes.
And your search was thorough enough, when I say your search, I mean your department search in addition to your observations. It was thorough enough that you actually did recover small droplets of blood, correct?
We did.
Who was it that collected those blood droplets?
That was Lieutenant Gallagher and Sergeant Lang.
In addition to the blood droplets, you were looking for anything else that might be out of place there?
Sure.
Small items?
Of course.
Large items?
Anything.
And as you were on scene, it was starting to get lighter as the morning progressed, correct?
Yes.
And again, you didn't clear the scene until almost 8 a.m.
Correct.
And you searched and were keeping alert to what was around you for the time that you were on scene, correct?
Yes.
During that 1 hour, I should say, and 40 minutes, you did not find 45 pieces of red and black and clear taillight pieces at 34 feet, correct?
No.
How many pieces of taillight did you find on or around that property?
That morning, none.
Did you find a men's hat, black in color?
No.
Did you find a size 12 men's shoe, black in color?
No.
Now, you would agree that it's important to preserve and secure a crime scene?
Yes.
Why is that?
You don't want the crime scene to be contaminated.
And you also do not want, and you'd like to prevent a crime scene from also being manipulated. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And what steps were taken, either by you or in your presence, to close off and secure the crime scene at 34th Fairview?
We had crime scene tape up while we were there, and then we also had Officer Mullaney on the road.
And when you say you had Officer Mullaney on the road, you mean blocking off the road?
Yeah, correct.
Are you aware of something called a crime scene log?
No.
You recall being trained in the academy that when there is a crime scene that needs to be preserved, it is advisable to set up a log so that all personnel are required to sign in and sign out, again, to prevent contamination and to prevent manipulation. Do you not recall that training?
I don't recall that, no.
With regard to the fact that it was actively snowing at the time, did you consider putting a tent around the area to prevent and minimize the environmental intrusions like the snow?
It would have been useless.
Did you utilize any heaters to assist in melting the snow in that area?
No.
And before you cleared the scene, or I should say when you cleared the scene, did you post an officer to guard the scene so that nobody could get in or out?
No.
How long was the road closed off for?
While we were there, so those 2 hours.
All right. And then after the 2 hours, there was nobody guarding the scene. Would you agree?
Yes, correct.
The road was not closed off?
No.
That crime scene was open to the public?
Correct.
So with regard to, you know, a crime scene log, a tent, heaters, keeping an officer there to make sure nobody got in or out of that crime scene, none of you would agree none of those protocols were followed, correct?
I don't believe there is a protocol for a tent in our policy.
Okay. So I guess leave the tent out of it.
None
of those other protocols were followed, correct?
Correct.
And certainly a tent was not put up either.
No.
Correct?
Correct.
Now, with regard to your police report, going back to that, your report clearly listed persons involved in the case, correct?
Correct.
And that police report is generated by computer software, correct?
That's yes.
Particular to police reports?
Correct.
And that's one of the categories that you can fill in, correct?
Correct.
And would you agree with me that with regard to all of the persons involved listed in your police report, everybody's first name and last name was completely spelled out except for one? Would you agree with that?
I don't. I believe those names were entered by Detective Sergeant Lang.
Okay. But certainly the report has your name on it, correct?
Correct.
So you would review the report before submitting it in your name, correct?
Correct.
So regardless of who entered or didn't enter, my question remains, which is that with regard to the persons involved listed in that report, everybody's name, first and last, is spelled out except for one, correct?
Correct.
Whose name was not spelled out completely?
I don't know.
May I approach?
Okay.
Page 2, counsel. And I just
have
to look at it silently and then look up at me when you're done. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Having reviewed that report, does that refresh your memory as to whose name was not completely spelled out?
Correct.
Who was that?
Brian Albert.
Did you omit Brian Albert's first name to mask the fact that he was involved?
No. No.
Do you know who Colin Albert is?
I know that he is Chris Albert's son.
And so therefore he'd be Brian Albert's nephew?
Yes.
Anywhere in your report do you mention that Colin Albert was present at 34 Fairview the night of January 28th going into January 29th?
No.
Now, would you agree with me that this report also lists home addresses for everyone in the persons involved section, except for one person?
Can I see the sheet again, please? Thank you.
This is the same, if I may approach.
Yes.
This is the same sheet that I sent you last time.
Thank you.
Take your time with it, sir. Thank you. And Sergeant, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Who am I talking about?
Brian Higgins.
Okay. So with regard to Brian Higgins, his home address was not listed on there, correct?
Correct.
And what address was listed for Brian Higgins?
1492 Washington Street.
And what is significant about that address?
It's the town of Canton.
It's the town of Canton Police Department, correct?
Correct.
Now, Brian Higgins was not an involved person because he was an investigator on the case, correct?
Correct.
He was not involved in this case in an official capacity, correct?
Correct.
You were, right?
Yes.
So listing the Canton Police Department as Sergeant Sean Good's address would be appropriate. Would you agree?
Yes.
Why was Brian Higgins' address listed at the Canton Police Department?
I don't know.
But that is something that you kept in your report, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I also want to ask you something else about your police report, and I want to focus on whether it was altered after it was first submitted. Okay. If I can.
Do you have your report with you?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have a copy for him, Mr. Iannetti?
I do.
Yes, sure. Go ahead. No, that's okay.
I've placed the document before you. Feel free to familiarize yourself with it, and please look up at me when you're done. Does that appear to be your police report, sir?
Yes.
And with the court's permission, I'd actually like the officer to have the report in front of him when I ask him these questions.
Okay, but nothing's going up on the screen, right?
Not yet.
Okay, so approach before it does.
I will, I promise.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm directing your attention to the first page.
Okay.
You will agree with me that this report is submitted with regard to incident number 22-87-OF?
Correct.
And this is call number 22-449, correct?
Correct.
The date and time reported is listed as January 29th of 2022 at 06:08, correct?
Correct.
Which would be in military time 6:08 a.m.
Correct.
The report date and time is listed as January 29th of 2022.
Objection, Your Honor.
All right, so why don't we come to sidebar now?
And more raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.